Thank you for tuning in to Blue Jays versus Them. I am your host, Jerry Schwinnard. Let's talk Blue Jays baseball. First, let me take care of some housekeeping. I want to thank you for your response to last week's request for helping me increase awareness to the podcast. The Buzzsprout website tells me that the first four episodes of this year, the podcast has received 73 downloads from 26 different cities in four different countries. 56 from Canada, no surprise that the majority would come from the home of the Blue Jays, 12 from south of the border, 4 from the UK, which is really cool, and 1 from Jamaica. So, thank you very much, and now, let's talk Blue Jays baseball. After a successful 9-game homestand of 6-3, winning all three series, including against the Yankees, the Blue Jays headed to Petco Park in San Diego to face the Padres. Yuriel Rodriguez made a second start for the first game. He completed 4 innings, throwing 86 pitches and giving up 3 hits, including a solo home run. Rodriguez struck out 7 batters and only walked 1. The bullpen of Francis, who pitched 2 innings, Meza, Garcia, and Romano closed out the game. The offense came from Guerrero, Kiermaier, and Justin Turner, who had a solo home run in the first. A 2-run double from Kiermaier in the second, followed by RBI singles from Guerrero and Turner, gave the Blue Jays 4 more runs in the inning. Toronto won Game 1, 5-1. Game 2 starter Jose Berríos completed 6 innings with 91 pitches. Only allowing 5 hits and 2 walks, he struck out 6 batters and lowered his ERA to an anemic 0.85. The offensive star of the game, if you already didn't know, was Dalton Varsho. With his team-leading 5th home run of the season, Varsho gave the Jays a 3-0 lead in the first inning. ICAF scored on a wild pitch in the second, and Ernie Clement's pinch-hit RBI single in the 9th gave Toronto a 5-2 lead. Romano closed out the game, earning his second save of the season. Chris Bassitt closed out the series, but he struggled through 5 1/3 innings. Throwing 93 pitches, he was charged with 4 runs, 2 earned on 6 hits and 3 walks. Solo home runs from Schneider in the second and Clement in the third. Justin Turner scored from third on a Davis Schneider groundout in the 7th. The 9 walks given up by Blue Jay pitching was too much to overcome. The Padres avoid the sweep, winning the final game 6-3. The Blue Jays close out the 7-game road trip with 4-game stop in Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City against the 13-9 Royals. Yusei Kikuchi took the mound for the opener and was brilliant through the first 5 innings. He only allowed 1 single and struck out 3 in the first 5. In the 6th, he gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, including a 2-run homer, 2 doubles, and a single. Bo Bichette gave the Blue Jays a 3-0 lead with a bases-clearing triple in the 3rd. Dalton Varsho had yet another home run to add 2 more runs in the 6th. A heads-up play by Justin Turner at first to throw out a runner at the plate negated a score in the 7th. The Royals would add a home run in the 9th, but fall short 5-3. Kevin Gausman struggled through 6 2/3 of an inning, giving up 3 unearned runs on an error by Guerrero at first base, which was the difference in the game. Throwing 99 pitches, he only gave up 1 walk, but he also only struck out 2. JT had an RBI single in the 3rd and scored on a sac fly by Alejandro Kirk in the 5th to give the Blue Jays a 2-0 lead. With the 3 unearned runs in the 7th, the Royals kept the Jays off the score sheet to hold off and win 3-2. For Game 3, Yuriel Rodriguez pitched 4 innings, allowing 3 runs on 6 hits and 2 walks. He struck out 2 batters, throwing 69 pitches. George Springer hit his 3rd home run of the season in the 5th, and Varsho scored on an Ernie Clement groundout in the 6th. Once again, Kansas held on to win 3-2. The final game of the series saw Jose Berríos take the mound on a rainy afternoon game. In difficult conditions, Berríos allowed only 3 hits, including a 2-run homer in the 1st. He struck out only 1 batter and gave up 3 walks. The Blue Jays' only run came in the 4th inning off an Ernie Clement single to score Justin Turner. The game was initially on rain delay after the 5th, but later called an official game. The Blue Jays lost 2-1 and lose the 4-game series, only winning the first game. The Royals will be in Toronto for 3 games to wrap up the season series starting Monday. My preview for that series later in the episode. Upcoming promotional nights and 50-50 draw prizes. The Jays will return home to face the Dodgers. Friday, April 26th is the previously mentioned specialty ticket promotion. With the purchase of the specialty ticket, fans will receive a Blue Jays Hello Kitty light-up bow bobblehead. Junior Jays Sundays, April 28th. Kids 14 and under can run the bases after the game, but you must pre-register. The Royals will be in town on Monday, April 29th for the Jano Bundle giveaway. The first 15,000 fans will receive a new blue replica jersey and replica glasses. Loony Dog Tuesdays will close out April. Wednesday, May 1st, will be the Work From Dome afternoon game. Game starts at 3:07. The Jays will return home from Washington and Philadelphia to face the Twins on May 10th. So next week, I'll go over promotions to cover that homestand. Last week, one of my listeners caught a mistake I made when I said 18 and younger. Obviously, I meant to say 18 and older. Fans 18 and older can purchase tickets for Jays Care 50-50 draw online at bluejays.com/50-50 anywhere in Ontario and now available to residents in Nova Scotia. I'll leave a link in the description. The remaining early bird prizes for April include Sunday, April 21st and 28th, there will be 10 cash prizes for $1,000. On April 23rd, there will be one pair of Blueprint Club premium tickets for May 1st versus the Kansas City Royals. Thursday, April 25th is for an all-inclusive trip to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic for two. The 50-50 grand prize jackpot is currently estimated to be over $1.6 million. Last week, I announced a new segment that I intended to be an opinion piece to discuss on-field or in-play controversies. I can't recall one in the past week, so I'll talk about our lineup and lack of hitting. I made mention of this in my review of one of the games last week. In that particular game, I pointed out that the bottom four outhit the top four by a significant margin. I resist the talk on my social media feed, particularly Twitter, about sitting our two star players, Guerrero and Bichette. Unlike other sports, timing plays a large role in a batter's success. In hockey, there really isn't an element of timing, at least not to the extent of baseball. Yes, one-timers require an element of timing. Goalies acquire certain eye-hand coordination timing that allows them to catch or block 100-mile-per-hour pucks. In a lot of ways, there are parallels to baseball and hockey, but in so many more, they can't be compared. A pitcher is the one credited with the win and loss. In hockey, that falls on the goalie. Yet equipment-wise, the goalie more resembles the catcher. In fact, it was a Toronto catcher, Charlie O'Brien, who fashioned the hockey-style catcher's mask. Perhaps I'll talk about that another time. I seem to have gotten away from the plot. Unlike sitting a skater in hockey who performed poorly, perhaps to reflect on their effort or play decisions made during the game, hopefully to motivate them to perform to their capabilities and perhaps give another player a chance to showcase their potential. Sitting a star player who hasn't scored lately rarely happens, so long as they're getting and taking their scoring opportunities. Sitting a player because he's not hitting as well as he should won't help them hit better. What might help is taking the pressure off and slotting them in a lower position in the batting order. Of course, that increases the pressure of those normally batting 5 through 9, but only in the first inning. No, I wouldn't sit our two core players, Guerrero and Bichette, unless their defensive play began to be affected. I first might consider moving Bichette to bat second behind Springer. If neither of their bats shows a marked improvement, then consider them moving down in the order. I'm not just talking about Bo and Vladdy either. Our most consistent batter by average right now is JT, but I wouldn't put him in leadoff, he hasn't got the speed. I might move him up to the third spot. IKF doesn't have as high an OPS or average as Turner, but he's got the speed to bat leadoff. Varsho's got the average and OPS to bat second. I might look at Clement batting behind JT, followed by Springer, Bichette, and Guerrero. Slot Jensen or Kirk into the 8th spot, and then either Biggio or Schneider to bat in the 9th, setting up the table for the top of the order. I might give that batting order a chance for a few games to see if it helps the early inning production. And I wouldn't return to the regular order until the averages and OPS show that it's warranted. After giving my reasoning for the change in batting order, the actual order may have been lost. So here's my revised batting order based on speed, average, and OPS. Batting leadoff, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Batting second is Dalton Varsho. Batting third is Justin Turner. Ernie Clement would bat fourth, with Springer, Bichette, Guerrero batting fifth, sixth, and seventh. Rounding out the bottom two would be either catcher, followed by Biggio or Schneider in the sort of platoon situation. The Blue Jays first played the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2002 at Dodger Stadium. Their next meeting took place at Rogers Center in 2004. In 2007, the two met for a rare six-game series. The first three games were played in LA, with the final three being in Toronto. Oddly enough, the visitors won two of the three games. They wouldn't meet again until 2013 and then in 2016. Both series were in Toronto. The last two meetings were in LA in 2019 and again last season. Of the 24 total games played since their initial meeting in 2002, both teams have hosted 12 times. That is not to say they both enjoy an even matchup. No, The Dodgers have won 6 more games than the Blue Jays with a record of 15-9. The Jays have won 2 of the 4 series in LA, taking both 2 of the 3 games, including last year's series. In the other 2 series, the Dodgers took 2 of 3 from the inaugural series and swept the 3 games in 2019 to give them a 7-5 record against the Jays in Dodger Stadium. This weekend's series is in Toronto, so let's talk about the record at Rogers Centre. On Friday, the Jays will return home from a 7-game road trip, going 3-4 to face the 16-11 Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers are coming into the series from a 3-game series in Washington, where they swept the Nationals and are on a 4-game winning streak. However, they are 5-5 in their last 10, losing 3 consecutive series at home. They lost 2 of the 3 to the Mets and the Nationals in the final game against the Padres. As I said in the earlier segment, their last visit to Toronto was in 2016. They won 7 of the last 9 games in Toronto, sweeping the series in 2013. In fact, the only series the Blue Jays won in Toronto was the first meeting here 20 years ago. But don't despair, folks. Our boys did take 2 of the 3 last season in LA. The Blue Jays will send Chris Bassett, Yusei Kikuchi, and Kevin Gausman to the mound. They will face Gavin Stone, who's 1-1 in his first 4 starts. Tyler Glasnow, formerly of the Tampa Bay Rays, is 4-1 in his 6 outings. At the time I was preparing for this episode, the Dodgers had not yet named their Game 3 starter. I'm going to go out on a limb and pick the Toronto Blue Jays to win 2 of the 3 games. Following the series against the Dodgers, the Blue Jays will have a rematch against the Kansas City Royals. The projected starters based on current rotation would see Yuriel Rodriguez, Jose Barrios, and Chris Bassett. If the Royals follow the same rotation, the first 2 games will be a rematch of the final 2 games at Kauffman Stadium, without the rain. The Royals have played 214 games in Toronto, only winning 90 games, giving the Jays a 124-90 record, or 579 win percentage, 34 games above 500. In their last 5 meetings in Toronto, KC is a combined 2-15. They've been swept in the last 3 of the 3-game series in 2018, 2012, and last season. For the 4-game series in 2019 and 2022, the Blue Jays took 3 of the 4 games. With that said, this isn't the Royals of the last few seasons. They are much improved. Recent matchups suggest that the Royals win 2 of the 3 games. But this is our house, and the record shows a very different history. The Jays redeem themselves and take 2 of the 3, although losing the season series 3-4. The Blue Jays will hit the road following the series to face the Washington Nationals and Philadelphia Phillies. That should do it for this episode. I look forward to talking Blue Jays baseball with you next week. I hope you join me. Once again, I feel a little weird bringing this to your attention, but if you can tap the subscribe button, hit the like button on social media posts, or download the episode from the Buzzsprout website, I'd really appreciate it. I'll leave a link to my website on Buzzsprout in the description. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in and look forward to talking with you next week. This is Blue Jays vs. Them, and I'm your host, Jerry Schmerd. Let's go, Blue Jays. Let's go.